Hey, Fearless Fundraisers, I'm Dawn Lego. It's time to buckle up. It's a new episode of Raise Nation Radio, the one and only podcast made to inspire fundraisers like you to continue making impact in our communities, building better tomorrows, and exchanging ideas. So whether you're a seasoned pro or a trailblazer, you'll pick up the trends that transform your fundraising. And together, we'll dive into lively conversations and chat with industry-leading fundraisers and thought leaders to explore hot button issues and innovative ideas. So stay with us for the next 30 minutes while we inspire you to embrace the future of fundraising. All right, let's get going. I am super excited to welcome my next guest to the show, Daria Ford. She's the Chief Development Officer at the Martha O'Brien Center, and I got to see her just a few weeks ago, which seems like years ago, actually, at this point, at the RAISE Conference in Nashville, and she had such great content and insights to share. I'm like, hey, come on, let's chat a little bit more and expand on the conversation. So RAISE Nation, please welcome Daria Ford. Daria, how are you? Welcome to RAISE Nation Radio.
Don, thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity and thank you for just allowing me to be here today.
Oh my gosh, of course. I feel like I can talk to you forever. You did join us at the RAISE broadcast studio during RAISE. But if people didn't catch that, I mean, you're such a familiar face and have such great insights to share. You spoke at the RAISE conference, but just in case there's some people that don't know your story, your journey, who you are and what you do, why don't you take the mic for a moment and just introduce yourself? We'd love to learn about all things Daria.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. I am Daria Ford, and I am a fundraiser. I've been in the nonprofit industry for about 17 years now, and I've done a variety of things from raising funds, from individuals, writing grants, serving on the administrative team, developing new programs. And so my experience is pretty wide. I also have a doctorate in leadership, and so I love nonprofit leadership. Ooh. I really found my love for ethical storytelling working at a nonprofit law firm. And I was really trying to get attorneys to give me stories, but ethics was a topic that came up multiple times, which made me dig deeper and really develop my love for ethical storytelling.
Wow. They say nonprofits wear a lot of hats, and they do. Mm-hmm. But you're wearing a few extra hats there, I think. You know, there's a couple of hats like I wasn't expecting. So good for you. So tell us a little bit about Martha O'Brien Center. We want to hear about that mission.
Yeah, Martha O'Brien Center is a nonprofit in Nashville, Tennessee. We've been around since the late 1800s. So we are what I call seasoned nonprofit. We've been around for quite some time, but we really have a mission to end poverty. And we want to look at the root causes of poverty. And we do that through employment, through education, and through family support services. And so we really want to see our families move upward. And we do all things that help families move upward. Wow. Economic mobility.
Yeah. Eradicating poverty would be a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
So good for you. Wow. Lots of hats we have to take off and understand here with you. But before we jump in to lots of different topics, I think we can take this conversation, but we'll focus on the storytelling. Let's talk about your daughter.
Yeah.
Gabrielle?
It's Gabrielle.
Gabrielle. Yeah. 8 years old. Love of your life. Let's talk about her a little bit.
Love of my life. Just a bubbly little girl. I don't know. She might be a future fundraiser. Ooh. Somewhere in there.
Get those hats ready.
Or a leader. A future leader for sure. Fundraiser possibly.
Takes after her mama.
She just finished a campaign raising funds for her school by telling.
Wait. Did we say 8 years old?
9 years old.
And she just finished a what?
She just finished a campaign raising funds for her school by telling jokes.
She did not.
She did. She did. She did great. But you know, for every joke or for every donation, she sent a personalized joke, and it just went over really Well, she ended up telling 30 jokes, and so she sent a personalized little video that said, "Hey, I hope you had a great day. Whoever the donor was, here's your joke for the day." And she'd tell the joke, and then she'd bust out laughing, and then we'd send them, individually. But all her idea, very creative, innovative, and
Very.
just
Oh,
fun.
I think we have a lot of listeners just, oh, I'm going to steal that. We're going to have like Gabrielle consultations sessions. How adorable. So she's a mini Daria. She's going to be a fundraiser, a leader, and all wonderful things. Well, I wanted to shout her out because I know she's a very special young lady, and good for her, that she's we're going to have her on the show. Wait a minute. I think one of our future episodes, I think I should interview Gabrielle. Do you think she's up for it?
She probably is, and she could tell you about how she tapped into my Amazon account for entrepreneurial idea, which was creating duck environments. So she could tell you all
Okay,
about
please. And you know what? I'm happy to record the
that.
show on a Saturday or a Sunday since I don't want to disrupt, school hours. But please, let's get Gabrielle on the show. But let's focus on her mom, where it all started. I want to talk about ethical storytelling. We hear storytelling in nonprofits over and over and over again. And I think sometimes we think that that means start from the beginning, right? And just go through everything. And I don't know that that's smart. I mean, we feel the passion, right? We want to know about missions and how we're impacting some journeys that have taken place out there. But I don't know that donors are motivated when they hear the entire journey, right? They just kind of want to know, okay, give me the cliff notes and tell me how you're impacting. But there is another part of it in that storytelling being ethical. So we have to think about that too. It's super important. Let's share with our audience what that means or what they should be thinking about when they think ethical storytelling.
Yeah, I think ethical storytelling really means that the organization has taken the steps to make sure that they're doing a couple things. One, that they're telling the story with the client, not just about the client. And so that means that they've walked alongside the client to ensure that they're telling accurate stories. And that, two, they're making the client the really hero in this story. And so, I mean, we all receive help for different things, but it's really our own will and strength that gets us through whatever situation that we're receiving help in. And three, that we're talking about framing. We're not framing communities or misrepresenting what a community is, and that we've done all of this with consent of the client. And so I think that there are steps that have often been missed in storytelling in a lot of nonprofits where we get it wrong. We've done it wrong, we get it wrong. And so I think if you're really thinking about what does ethical really mean, it's going back and talking about how did you get that story? Is it accurate? And are you telling it in the best way?
Without any bias or
Yeah.
further dividing communities, bringing communities together, and making sure that we're just not aiding and abetting the stereotypes that might exist out there, right? Our word choices. Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, in some degree, that's a piece of ethical storytelling, making sure that we are framing stories in a way. When I teach a class, I use an example, a video, and it's men in Africa. And the men in Africa, they go through all these negative stereotypes that have been told about them. And then towards the middle of the video, they switch and say, like, we are happy people. We have real lives. We have careers. But through storytelling, there's been this narrative that's been created that really makes people believe things about us that's not necessarily true. And it happens with individuals, it happens in whole communities. I read a newsletter recently where someone talked about mentorship. And the way that the article was written, it said that there was no mentors in the community. And that just could not possibly ever be true.
Right. Of course, we all have mentors. It could
But
be the store down the street that is just kind and protected, right? Anybody can be a mentor.
Anybody could be a mentor, and just because it's a vulnerable neighborhood, a low income neighborhood, doesn't mean that there are no mentors in the neighborhood at all. But for someone who's never lived in a neighborhood like that, or who's never visited or knows anyone, it's easy for them to read that and say, yep, there's not an absolutely mentor in that neighborhood. What a horrible neighborhood. And so, that's just one example. But I mean, that's some of our responsibility as fundraisers, is to make sure that when we're writing and when we're telling stories, we're really watching our word choices and framing stories so that we're being accurate in representing our clients and communities.
So you had the opportunity to speak at RAISE. Thank you. We really appreciate your thought leadership. It was a joy to have you. What were some of the key messages that you hoped that the audience took away? Was it these 3 points? I mean, it was a 60-minute session. So what did you underscore or emphasize in that session?
I really talked a lot about consent in that session, because that's where, to me, for organizations, it really begins. Thinking through your consent form and your consent process. Traditionally, we've treated consent just like it was a process. Here is the form. You either come to our organization, when you sign intake forms, then we have the rights to your story and we move on. But in that session, I really talked a lot about, for development teams, we need to take a step back and walk people through our processes. So if you were going to submit a story for me, I would go back to you and say, I'm thinking about using your testimony as a story. One, are you okay with that? On a consent form, a written consent form, but also in a conversation. And so in that session, I really walked through what all should be on a consent form, and what are the processes you should have in place? For example, l allowing your client to read, or former client to read, what you're going to publish before you publish it. I mean, it sounds so
You don't
simple.
own that person. You don't own their story, right? So they should
No,
be part of the process.
they should be part of the process. And all too often, we are busy in development and we are trying to get it done. We are trying to get the campaign out. We want to, get the newsletter out. We want the video to go out. We need the
And we're
person.
like, yeah, there's a consent form on file. Off to the
Just go
races. Yeah,
off to
let's
the
go.
races. And we can miss some important steps when we do that. And then we can leave out people that need to be included. And so I learned from a mistake of my own. In my work, I worked at a nonprofit law firm, and we were telling stories of people that experienced domestic violence. And I was running a campaign. We had someone that wanted to be an advocate that over time changed her mind and decided that she didn't want to be an advocate. And so my team did all this great work to get this campaign prepped. And right before, I always call and say, hey, I just want to let you know that we're going to run this campaign. Are you okay with that? And I made an assumption that she would be okay with it. And she was not. She said, hey, I've changed. I'm in a new relationship. My children are older now. I did want to be an advocate, but I don't think I want to do that anymore. And so that
Which
made me.
is his or her right.
It's their right and it's perfectly okay. But more times than often, we don't go back. We just take the content, we use it forever in this industry, and that can present some issues. And that's where ethical storytelling really comes in. That's the intersection of ethical storytelling and storytelling is right there in that
Especially
moment.
if that person's on a journey and so much has changed in their life from the time that they first decided to become an advocate to a year, 2 year, 5 years later, there might even be more to the story that is very important to that person and maybe even to the community to hear. So I love the, check in again, just because you have that piece of paper filed in some filing cabinet or, in the digital folder there, it doesn't give you the right to just keep running with somebody else's story. It doesn't really belong to you.
No, it doesn't belong to you. And you should check in multiple times, especially if you're prepping a client for an event. Are you still comfortable with this? I know it sounded great in the very beginning. And we talked about you speaking publicly at this event. And as you're coaching that client, hopefully you are coach, you know, working with the client and coaching the client, making sure they're comfortable, but continuing to ask the questions, are you still comfortable? Do you still want to share this? No, you don't have to tell that level of detail for people to understand your experience. I mean, you could walk that back and still tell your story with dignity without having to share some of those details that re-traumatize you as you're telling that story. And just being that person that is truly walking alongside the client. And so,
Empathy. Having empathy. So you said something earlier that struck me, and just went on to get some of your insights and thoughts here. You mentioned making, the advocate, the person that the self-advocate, the hero in the story, making it about them, not necessarily about you and what you did and how you helped. And, I mean, of course, we want the world to know that this nonprofit is building better tomorrows, impacting communities, because if we're perceived as doing good work, well, then the donations come in, right? But you're saying, dial back a second, hold up. It's really about them. Make them the hero. Make it about them. Do you have any tips for our audience on how best to do that?
Yeah, I think really, through the client's lens, your organization will shine because whatever it was, for example, there was a person that came to our organization that was just like driving around doing Uber and just felt like they wanted more. It was them making the call that came into the organization that even started the journey. But a lot of times the story is told the opposite way, where we're really uplifting the organization. It's you're uplifting the strength of the person. So I think that's number one. It's their strength that kept them in the program, that kept them dedicated and committed, that really moves them towards their success. And we're just walking alongside as nonprofits helping. And so I think telling that story in that way really helps amplify what you did, because you're supporting, you didn't change their whole world. They had to have a lot of the strength. And I think we're often telling the stories the
Good
opposite
point.
way. Yeah.
Yeah, Derry, I love that. So, I don't, when we spoke at Raise, I don't think we had the opportunity, or I didn't have the opportunity to share with you that I do run a small nonprofit with my daughter. She started a nonprofit when she was 14, so we're 7 years later. And I'm very glad to have met you and heard that very valuable point, because I think our storytelling was all about what we did for this individual and how we, and that it happened to be true. There's nothing that we said that was false, but it is so much more humble and more of a servant leader when you are talking, look what they did. They were able to communicate better, or we happen to deliver iPads to nonverbal individuals. That's why I went with that particular story. But we didn't help their communication. We supplied tools and, funding. But if they weren't willing, or the family wasn't willing, that's really part of the story. And I'm glad that I could bring that back to my daughter's nonprofit and recraft, the stories that we're telling. I think it's more beautiful, it's more meaningful, more heartwarming, and the right thing to do.
And I think if you approach it that way, the reality is that we're more connected than we are different. And when you tell the
Oh, wait,
story,
stop. Mic drop. We're more connected than we are different. I love that.
and so I think when you're telling that story from their perspective, your donors can see more of themselves in the story. We all had a point in time when we needed to get from point A to point B. And we had to use our own strength to get from point A to point B, but we had to call a friend to help us get there. And I think it makes your stories richer when you do that, because then you give the donor an opportunity to connect in a way that they may not normally connect. All of our donors are not gonna, for my situation, like all donors will not relate to poverty. They want to help, with poverty. They want to help in poverty, but they may have never experienced it. But when I break that story down, they have all felt stuck and wanted to move. And so it makes the storytelling richer, I think.
I think so. Yeah. Today was a light bulb moment for me, for sure. And I hope it's a light bulb moment for our audience. So tell me, I think we're coming close on time, but I feel like I can talk to you for another hour. I do want to, if you don't mind, understand a little bit how you applied these techniques and tips to the Martha O'Brien Center, just for some like case study examples, because I
Yeah.
think light bulbs are going off for our audience and maybe they just need a little bit more. How do we apply this now?
Yeah. So, I think number one, in your department, you need policies. Like, for an example, we always call a client before we share a story. We always call the client before we show a video. And so I think establishing, because it's going to be different for different departments, but establishing what are your norms and procedures is helpful. I also think if development departments don't have a separate consent form, that you should establish one. And it should be detailed. It shouldn't be because you participated in our program, we always could use your story. We can use your story for how long? We can use your story. Do you want us to use your name? Do you want first and last name? Do you want us to only use the story for a certain time period? I really think getting into the details of that consent form is helpful because it makes sure that you're holding the dignity of the client and you're making yourself accountable because you need to look back at the consent form to see if you still have consent. I also think creating a culture of storytelling is important for organizations because you don't want to just tell stories when you get to the event. You don't want to just tell stories when you need them. You want a culture of storytelling so that you can cycle stories. That's part of the reason why we're using stories over and over again, is because it's hard to get them. And so creating an environment in your agency where you're talking to everyone, if you have a big staff, you're talking to the staff and say, this is why storytelling is important. This is how we are accountable as a department. And these are the steps we take to make sure that once you've transferred that story to us, that we're holding it with dignity and making sure we're telling it accurately internally will help you get more stories. And so I go back to that example at Legal Aid, where I could not get a story at all. And it was because the clients were the attorneys, not the clients, but the attorneys were so protective of the clients. They did not want anyone to be objectified because they already have a client attorney privilege. And so we really had to dig into what the culture would be to even get there to get a story. And so it really helped with the ethical part of storytelling because we were saying, we're accountable. This is what our form looks like. This is how many times we go back to the client. We will not share the story before we let them review it. And just walking through those steps, that's really how you start to establish that culture.
Yeah, you're establishing trust in the community. You're doing what you say you're going to do. You're not objectifying, exploiting. I love what you're saying. Just have a culture of stories. It's a journey. Impacting communities is a journey. We are more connected than we are different. Let's just that empathy, that respect. You really brought a lot of things to the forefront. I wish we had more time, but we've That half hour just breezed right on by. Before I let you go and we do our little, goodbye, how can people get involved with the Martha O'Brien Center? And what do you need right now? We know it's donations, of course, and I'm sure there's a good old CTA donation button right on your website. So I can put all of this in the show notes, the website, all that good stuff. But tell us, what do you need right now and how can people get involved?
Absolutely. So if you're in the Nashville area, we are always in need of people to come in and volunteer. We have a lot of programming. We're in three of the high schools with high school programming. We have after school programming. And so we need volunteers, a lot of community outreach. And so volunteering is one way. We also are in need of spices and non-perishable items for the holidays. People tend to need more during the holidays. It's also a season where it makes you feel like you need more because everyone's cooking and family gatherings and so on. And I don't know if you've been to the store lately, but things are very expensive.
Oh gosh, are you? I just did a grocery list this morning and I'm deleting. Well, I do my shopping online. I have a son with special needs, not always easy for me to go grocery shopping. So I just, oh God, I can't pay that, right? Like, not for anything, but aluminum foil was $12.99. I'm like, ouch.
Exactly. So basic things that families need, we are always in need of those. We have an Amazon wish list that we
Okay. Oh, good
circulate.
to know.
And so you can go and purchase things off of the wish list. But during the holidays, your basic things, eggs, butter, milk, those things, a lot of people will just ship those to the center. Spices,
Great.
things that make basic meals elevated, is always on our minds for our families. And so those are some of the things we need right now.
Okay, so with your permission, I'm going to put some of those links like to Amazon and how to get involved and of course the donation button. Derry, I mean, I really just appreciate you taking a, peeling back the layers of the onion because storytelling could be anything, right? And just making sure that we're concise, delivering the impact, that social impact, which is important for donors, but then doing everything ethically for the community, respecting the community and the people that you serve, and being a true servant leader. And I just want to applaud you and thank you for the fine work that you do, the many hats that you wear, and for really capturing the essence of what it is to be a servant leader. You're like our mentor and our role model, and I'm sure that's why your little girl is getting it as well. So thank you.
Thank you for that. Thank you very much.
Beautiful. Well, Fearless Fundraisers, that's about all we have time for today. I know, we want more from Daria, but we'll put drop in the show notes ways that you can get in touch with her. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's Raise Nation topic and your daily dose of fundraising inspiration. Tune in for a new episode release every Thursday at 12:30 p.m. That's Thursdays, 12:30 p.m. But in the meantime, listen to all the episodes of Raise Nation Radio and follow the channel where you get all your favorite podcasts because we stream everywhere. We're also on demand at onecause.com and on YouTube. Fundraisers are doing amazing things to build better tomorrows in our communities. The stories that we're sharing are awe-inspiring. You don't want to miss a single episode. I will like to thank our sponsor, OneCause, for making this episode possible. OneCause is driving the future of fundraising with easy-to-use digital fundraising solutions that help nonprofits connect with donors. Check it out, onecause.com. And please visit the resource tab on our homepage. There's a broad catalog of content. It's all free. Hopefully, you'll find it helpful. A huge shout out and thanks to my guest, Daria Ford, for sharing just a very expert and authentic voice about storytelling. Daria, thank you so much for being with us today. I really enjoyed our conversation. It was enlightening. But I do have to ask, because we ask all of our guests, any last words of inspiration?
I would just say that if you are on a journey to tell stories better, just remember that it's a process. And so you're going to change one small thing at a time. And so that's something that came up after our session last time at the conference. Someone said, like, I want to go change all of this right now. And it's just not possible. There are going to be things that you do well. It works on a continuum. And so just continue to get better day by day by
Baby
day.
steps. Yeah. One step today. That's five steps, in a few months. So that's great. That's great advice. Well, thank you again so much. I can't wait to see you. I hope you're coming to Raise 2025. I know we're not in your backyard in Nashville. We're a little bit further away, but hopefully we'll see you there and you can share more insights with us.
I'm planning on it.
Oh, good. And that's what we like to hear. Well, that is a wrap. Until next time, I'm Dawn Lego. This is Raise Nation Radio. You stay fearless out there.
Thank you.